Oh, glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, not too far from us. There are some bad weather and people can't get to church. And of course, the worldwide pandemic is dying. Glory to God. But we're glad that we are online. We're thankful for that. Glory to God. And we are glad that you are with us. If you are watching us online, so glad to have you. So very, very glad to have you. And there's different reasons why people can't get out, and we understand that, and maybe even shouldn't get out. But we are glad that you are joining us online. Hey, did you enjoy last Sunday morning with Kim Cloud? Yes. Amen. We had a great, great, great time with him. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then if you weren't here Wednesday night, or if you didn't hear it online, because again, we have a lot of people watching online these days and, not out yet. But you need to hear Pastor John's message. It was an outstanding message. So take the time, amen, to listen to that. It won't take you, but if you just click up to his message part, it won't take you. But 42 minutes, you'll probably watch five times that much TV this afternoon, So to hear the Word of God, it'd be a blessing to you. I got the spirit of sass or something on me this morning. I'm sorry. But it'll be all right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am so excited about a new series that we're going to start this morning. And we'll introduce it and start to get into it. And we'll come back to these same truths and expound upon it over and over again. This might just be two messages, or it might be 20. I don't know. But you could go ahead and find, in whatever you're looking at, Ephesians chapter 6. Yay. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Glory to God. And so we want to start a new series this morning that I'm calling Give No Place to the Devil. Give No Place to the Devil. And what I want to do before we look at Ephesians chapter 6, there's about five scripture passages that are going to be very important to us. And we won't say everything there is to say about them, but we'll eventually come back and look at them in detail and look at them in context. But I want to give you some scriptures this morning before we look at Ephesians chapter 6 that are important to us and to establish something. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. Amen. Eventually we'll come back and we'll look at the specific thing that he's talking about. But what I want you to see right now this morning is this. It is possible. It is possible. Now, Corinthians is written to the saints. It's written to believers. It's not talking to the world. It's not talking to unbelievers. This is God, through Paul, talking to believers. And he says, among other things, he says it's possible for Satan to take advantage of us. Well, I don't want Satan to take advantage of me, do you? I mean, he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. One of the UBS word commentaries translates it this way, for Satan to gain the advantage over us. Glory to God. Well, he can't automatically take the advantage over us, but the scripture is warning us that it is possible for him to gain the advantage. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 in a minute, so you can turn right there to chapter 4 if you want to. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Well, that means it's possible to give the devil place. He wouldn't warn us not to give him any, again, written to Christians. He wouldn't warn us not to give him any place if it wasn't possible. Amen. So don't give him room or opportunity to operate in your life. Because if the devil's operating in any area of our life, then we won't like it. Can you say amen? Praise God. Many translations say, don't give him a foothold. The Amplified Bible says, give no opportunity to him. So again, under certain conditions, it is possible, it doesn't have to be, but it's possible for a Christian to give place to the devil in their lives. Are you following me? And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, Peter said, Paul said this, amen, now Peter says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So in other words, there are people that he may devour. There's people that he may not devour. I want to be one of those may nots. How about you? Amen. Amen. But again, under certain conditions, the devil can devour Christians. Amen. Now understand again, I want to make this clear. We'll go into it deeper later. But understand, he can't automatically devour. Now think of the word devour. Whom he may devour. If you get devoured, that means he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're devoured, then he destroys your life. He ruins your life. He devastates your life. He hurts your life in some way. But he can't automatically take the advantage of us. He can't automatically find a room in our life, a place in our life, an open door and access of access into our lives. He can't automatically do any of those things unless we allow it. Sometimes people do it out of ignorance, but nonetheless, they allow it. Unless we allow it or give him place in some way. Are you following me? But the truth is, he can, under certain circumstances, devour, take advantage of, and gain access into people's lives. Now, with that in mind, let's look at our main text for this morning, found in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren," see, talking to Christians, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that," everybody say that. This is the purpose of the armor of God. You know, sometimes people, because verse 18 talks about praying with all prayer, and we believe in prayer, and prayer has an extremely vital and important role in our lives, but sometimes people say that the armor of God is prayer armor. But that's not what the armor of God's for. It tells us two different times right here. First of all, in verse number 11, it says, "Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the armor of God. And by the way, when you hear teachings about the armor of God, don't get all caught up in the armor. The armor typifies a spiritual truth. It's not the breastplate that's important. It's righteousness that's important. Amen. But anyway, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that," here again he states his purpose, "that you may be able to withstand." Said stand in verse number 11. Now here in verse 13 he says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. How many of you think we ought to stand? Amen. Well, to withstand, if you stand against something, if you withstand something, that means you oppose it. You're against it. You don't agree with it. You don't yield to it. You don't flow with it. You fight it. You resist it. You oppose it. You stand against it. Amen. Amen. So he says in verse number 13, in verse 11, he said, "Stand against." Amen. And I think you could say stand against in all these passages. You know, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. Amen. But in verse number 13, he says, "Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand." To withstand, the very definition of withstand is to stand against. So he's saying the same thing. I said the definition of withstand is to stand against. And it carries very strongly the idea is that you firmly do this. You continuously do this. You strongly oppose something when you stand against it. That's what it means to withstand. Are you following me? Amen. And so James 4:7, of course, tells us to resist the devil. We are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can you say amen? James 4:7, that's another important passage we're going to see in this, "Give no place to the devil," is resist, submit to God, resist the devil. Everybody say resist. And he will flee from you. The Greek word resist in James 4:7 is the exact same Greek word found here in Ephesians 6:13 that's translated with stand. Amen. Resist the devil or stand against him firmly and strongly. Glory to God. Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, Verse number 8, you know, we read verse 8 a while ago. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then he gives us a key to not being devoured. Verse number 9 says, resist him. Resist him. That word, resist, is the same word found in Ephesians 6:13, withstand. So stand against, withstand, resist. Stand against him. Amen. Stand against him. Glory to God. Well, right off the bat, you're beginning to get the idea of how important it is to stand against and resist the devil. Can you say amen? And we'll go much deeper into the importance and power. There's great power in resisting the devil. Glory to God. But right off the bat, we see how important it is, if we're not going to give place to the devil, to resist, to withstand, to not yield to oppose, to stand firmly against, to not accept the devil. Amen. And of course, the way he shows up is if you don't wait for somebody with a pitchfork and tail and a red suit to show up, we resist his lies that he brings to our minds. We are to resist those things, oppose those things, stand against those things, not agree with those things. Glory to God. Amen. So let's plug that back into Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against, that you may be able to strongly resist, that you may be able to continually oppose and fight against, to not agree with and not accept any of the wiles of the devil. Can you say amen? Now, very important, and here's the crux of our message this morning. The specific thing, say this specific thing. The specific thing we are to resist, that we are to oppose, that we are not to agree with, is the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The Amplified Bible says, the strategies and deceits of the devil. The strategies and deceits of the devils. This word wiles is an interesting word because you can look at the root word and you can look at the original Greek word and you can look at the various definitions, but you got to put that all together and you got to put it together with other scriptures and you got to read it in the context of this verse to actually get the true meaning of what the Spirit of God is trying to get across to us. All right? So follow me here. The Weymouth Bible says we are to resist the stratagems of the devil. Amen. Got our teacher's hat on this morning. This is very important. We'll see something very powerful here. The stratagems of the devil. Well, what is a stratagem? It means a scheme or a method designed to deceive. A scheme or a method designed to deceive. And this word wiles has to do with being sneaky. It has to do with being tricky. It has to do with method of operation. It has to do with deception. It has to do with the way that he works and the way that he operates. It means all of those things. So a stratagem means a method designed to deceive. Another definition of wiles is an avenue of attack. We are to resist his particular avenue of attack. Well, we begin to understand his avenue of attack is through deceptive thoughts and reasonings and lies that he tries to sow into our mind and get us to believe those things. Amen. His ultimate purpose. Now watch this. This is so, so important. His ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose of the devil, so that he might have access into our lives, so that he might take advantage of us in some way, so that he may devour us in some way. His ultimate attack is this. He wants to get people to think and believe something's true that's not true. He is a master deceiver. Think about it. He convinced 1/3 of the angels that they could overthrow God. Did he have any chance at all of succeeding at doing that? If he tried 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 times, could he overthrow God? He had zero, but he was such a master deceiver and misinformer and clever liar that he deceived angelic beings in believing that if they would join him, they could overthrow God. So don't think you're any match for him just in your own strength. See, this scripture started off by saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his. You can't handle him in your own physical strength. You can't handle him with your own mental strength. He is a deceiver. And what he wants to do, and you'll see this very clearly why he wants to do this in a minute. He wants to get people to think and believe something's true that's not true. I'm going to say it again. He wants to get you, he wants to get me to believe something's true that's absolutely not the truth. If we believe a lie, we are deceived. Is everybody okay? You follow me so far? I mean, that's the definition of deception. If somebody is deceived, they believe something is true that's not true. If I believe something's true that's not true, then I'm deceived. If I believe I'm not forgiven when I am forgiven, then I'm deceived. If I believe I'm a man in a woman's body, then I'm deceived. I'm believing something that's not true. Are you following me? And so again, through deceptive thoughts and reasonings and arguments that he brings to our minds, you know, the devil is trying to deceive us and get us to believe something is true that is absolutely not the truth. Now, remember when we quoted 2 Corinthians 2:11 back there, read that to you, and you looked at it probably? It says, for we are not, you know, ignorant of his devices. How did it say it? We got it on the screen there, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Instead of devices, the Amplified Bible says his wiles. We are to stand against the wiles of the devil. His devices, very interesting word, devices. That word devices is found 6 times in the New Testament. It's translated devices here. It's translated thoughts once. Everybody say thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Very, very famous, important scripture when it comes to dealing with the devil and to not giving him access into our life. We are to cast down every thought. We are to take captive arguments and reasonings and thoughts that are not the truth, that are not in line with God's word. That's that same word translated devices here. Amen. Glory to God. We are not, amen. We are not ignorant of his devices. 4 times. So 1 time is translated devices. That's right here in 2 Corinthians 2:11. 1 time is translated thoughts. And 4 times is translated mind or minds. So you see, his wiles has to do with thoughts, ungodly thoughts, that he brings, untrue thoughts, that he brings to our minds. And we are to stand against, we are to oppose, we are to resist, we are not to cooperate with, we are not to agree with, we are not to accept those lies that he brings to our minds. Amen. Are you following me? Glory to God. And the reason he does that, he wants us to believe a lie. If we believe a lie, then we are deceived. A good single word, because it's hard to find a single word sometimes to go from one word, you know, to go from Greek to English, just one single word. That's why you have to amplify these words. Like there's one restaurant. You ever been to, what is it? The Mexican restaurant in town over there by the South Walmart, La Altina. You know, and I asked the guy one day, I said, what does Altina mean? He went, you can't translate it into English. I'm like, no, man, give me a word. That means, I mean, the dog, the place, the he goes, I'm telling you, you can't translate. There is no English equivalent. Well, what does it mean? And so he says, well, and then he tried to explain it to me, and I still didn't understand. But a single word, if we're looking for a single word to understand that you could translate as the wiles of the devil, a very good one. This comes up over and over and over when you read commentaries, when you look at Greek dictionaries and lexicons, when you read people teaching on this. A good word that comes up that could be used in this verse in context is a word that you probably never use, and it's the word sophistry. Anybody ever use the word sophistry? Anybody ever heard the word sophistry? We are to resist the wiles, stand strong against the sophistry of the devil. It's a very good word, though. Sophistry is plausible sounding arguments. If something is plausible, then it's believable. Amen. Now watch this, because words are so wonderful. Plausible means skill, persuasive arguments and reasonings and thoughts that are absolutely not true. Amen. If something's plausible, it sounds good, it sounds reasonable, it's persuasive, it's convincing, but it's not the truth, and it's usually, plausible usually means it is especially intended to deceive. I mean, it's, you know, somebody, have you ever argued with somebody and they swore up and down? They were lying to you through their teeth, but they swore up and down. They were telling you the truth, and they were very convincing, and they swore on their mother's grave, and they got mad that you didn't believe them, and they cried because you didn't believe them, or they got angry that you... And what they were saying, they finally convinced you, but it was absolutely a lie. Think of the best liar you've ever heard of or had to deal with. And multiplies that by a billion, and you might get somewhat close to how good the devil is at lying. Ooh, this is going to be real good. You're going to see something in a minute. That's how the devil operates. He brings thoughts to our mind that seem credible. They seem reasonable. They seem logical. They seem cogent. They're persuasive. They're very convincing. It sounds right and it feels right, but it's a lie that you were born a homosexual. It's a lie that you're not forgiven. It's a lie that you're going to die of some disease, or that you have to die with some disease. It's a lie, on and on and on and on and on. So sophistry is sophistry. Amen. Back to that word sophistry. You with me? Is plausible. You know what that means now. A cleverly convincing lie that's intended to deceive. Sophistry is plausible sounding arguments and reasonings and thoughts that are deceptively presented as the absolute truth. But they are not the truth. We are to stand against the wiles, the sophistry of the devil. I'm not sure if it's sophistry or sophistry, but you don't know the difference, so I'll just... And it's done for the very express purpose of deceiving us. So again, this person will present very believable, clever, subtle misinformation and swear it's the truth up and down in an effort to absolutely convince us that it's true. So this is how the devil operates. I guarantee you tonight, if during the Super Bowl, if the who's playing, the Tampa Bay Bucks, if before every play they knew exactly the play that New England was going to run, would that give them an advantage? I mean, Kansas City, yeah. Sorry. Patriots quarterback now plays for Tampa Bay. The Patriots are nothing. Kansas City, Mahomes. Yeah, I know these things. You know one of the reasons Alabama's so good? There's a lot of reasons Alabama's so good. But every play is designed to make you think they're going one way when they're actually going the other way. And so you ever noticed, you know when they start a play, all they're going to do on this particular play now, okay, all they're going to do on this particular play, I'm taking a break here just to get you to relax before I go on. All the particular plays, all they're going to do on this play is the quarterback's going to get the ball and he's going to turn around and hand it to the halfback and he's going to run straight up the middle. But before they run that play, the wide receiver over here gets out of his stance and crosses all the way across and runs to the other field and gets down. And the tight end on this side gets up and runs to the other side. And they have all this movement, all this motion. The only thing they're going to do is turn around and hand it to the halfback. All that other stuff is just fluff to try to make you think they're going to do something else. But if you know, if you know for an absolute fact, now you can't know this for an absolute fact. You can't. Now when it comes to God's word, you can know what he says about you, what he tells you you can do, what he says about you. You can know that's the absolute truth every single time. But if you could know, if it was gospel, a million times, that all he was going to do is run up the middle, then every cornerback that's defending those wide receivers, they could just totally ignore them, and they could all just run to that one spot. Would that help them? I'm telling you how the devil operates this morning, because it'll help you. This is how the devil operates. This is his method of operations. Wiles means schemes, plans, method of operation, deception, sneaky, tricky, sneak attack. Amen. Literally, it means to lie in wait. See, that's sneaky. To lie in wait. For what purpose? To attack and deceive. The presenting of some lie as the truth. That's the wiles of the devil. So in context, as you put this all together, we are to stand against. We are to stand against. We are to stand against. We are to resist. We are to oppose. We are not to agree with. We are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Which means this. We are to stand against his deceptive reasonings and arguments and thoughts that he cleverly and repeatedly brings to our mind to try and to get us to believe a lie. If you believe a lie, you believe something that's not true. We are to stand against his deceptive reasonings and arguments and thoughts that he cleverly and repeatedly brings to our minds to try and get us to believe a lie, to try to get us to believe something that is not truth. Now, what happens when you believe the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. But when you accept a lie, when you agree with a lie, when you believe a lie, then you'll have the opposite of freedom. You'll be bound in some way. You'll be under the control of something or somebody. You'll be ruled over. The opposite of being free, so you can understand what something is because this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to gain access into our lives. He wants to have a place in our life. He wants to devour us so that he can bind us. The opposite of being free is to be bound, to be captured, to be enslaved, to be conquered, to be messed up. If you're messed up in some way, then you're not free. If you're messed up in your sex life, or messed up in your finances, or messed up in your health, or messed up in your emotions, then you're not free. I want you to think a little bit this. Are you thinking? The dictionary says, words related to being free. See, because we see the words related to being free, so we really get, the truth shall make you free. If you know it. Actually, it says, if you know the truth, then the truth will make you free. When you have intimate knowledge of the truth, when it's real to you, when it's alive to you, when you act on it, then it makes you free. The truth itself won't make you free, but knowledge of the truth makes you free. But knowledge of the truth, here are words. The dictionary says these are synonyms for free or freedom, and these are words related to being free. What are those words? Delivered, redeemed, unconquered, liberated, unimpeded, unhampered. See, if you're hindered in some area of your life, then you're not free in that area. Amen. But if we believe something that's not true, if we believe a lie, if we're deceived into believing a lie, then we will experience the opposite of freedom. What is that? Here are antonyms, similar words, so forth, opposite words of being free. Oh, listen to this. You'll be bound, broken, defeated, perverted, hindered, encumbered, hobbled, held back, demeaned, ruled over, and powerless. Remember, what is deception? Is to think and believe that something's true that's not true. Is to accept something that's true that's not true. If we believe a lie, then we are deceived. And the devil comes at us through these arguments and reasonings and thoughts very clearly, very deceptively, very convincingly at times. Oh, man, he can make it sound so good to try to get you to believe things like that you're a stupid nobody, that nobody cares about, that nobody loves, you're unworthy. I guarantee you, if you think that way and believe that lie, that's a lie because it contradicts the Word of God. If you believe that lie, but then you will be, to one degree or another, bound, broken, defeated, hindered, encumbered, hobbled, held back, demeaned, ruled over, powerless. You get it? If you wrongly accept and believe that, you're not loved. You're not forgiven. You can't be forgiven. Not this time. Or that you wrongly believe and accept that, or, and believe that some sin is not wrong. Or that you must be afraid. The devil doesn't care what you're hobbled and bound with. He just wants you bound. He just wants access into your life so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't care what it's from. So if we wrongly believe that we are unloved, or that we're a man in a woman's body, or that we were born gay, or that healing is not for everybody today, or that you can't control and resist some lust, or that God doesn't want you to have much material in life, if that's stuck in your mind, some religious thinking, some poverty-type thinking, or that you have to die from some sickness, or anything else that's not in line with God's Word, then to one degree or another, in one or more areas of your life, you will be bound, broken, defeated, hindered, encumbered, held back, demeaned, ruled over, powerless, or perverted, you will not be free. Wow. To say it another way, if we believe a lie, then Satan will have access into our life to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm just simplifying these things. Amen. He will have access into our life. He may, if you believe a lie, then he may devour you. He may devastate you and ruin you. And to believe a lie. Say anything and not in line with God's Word. Is a lie. To believe a lie, watch this. Not only does it give him access into your life to do all those things we talked about, but to believe a lie, anything not in line with God's Word, to believe a lie is to empower that lie to become your reality. To believe a lie is to empower that lie to become your reality. If you believe you're unworthy and condemned and no good, and then that'll affect your attitudes and that'll affect your behavior, and you'll act that out in life. Are you following me? I want to say it again. To believe a lie, anything not in line with God's Word, is to empower that lie to become a reality in your life. Now, you doing okay out there? I know I'm just throwing a lot at you this morning, but we're gonna come back and look at it over and over and over again. You can't, this aspect of this truth, you can't say it any better than Rick Renner says it, or I can't say it any better. Deception occurs when a person believes the lies the enemy has been telling them. We're to stand against the wiles of the devil. The moment you begin to believe the lie that the devil has been telling you is the very moment when those thoughts and mind games begin to produce reality in your life. Remember that 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of his devices, mind games. That's what one well-known Greek scholar said. That means mind games. The devil may assault your mind by repeatedly telling you that you are a failure. Now, it could be anything. This is just an example. He could complete it that you are a failure, that you can't be forgiven, that nobody loves you, that you're rejected, that you're sick, that you have to be broke, that you can overcome, that it's not wrong for you to be angry. See, you're not supposed to accept it. You're supposed to oppose it, resist it. On and on. It doesn't matter what it is. That you have wrong desires toward the same sex. It doesn't matter what it is. The devil may assault your mind by repeatedly telling, everybody say repeatedly, that you are a failure or whatever. However, as long as you resist those allegations, they will exert absolutely no power in your life. If, on the other hand, you begin to give credence to these lies, make sure we're all on the same page again. What does it mean to give credence to something? That means you begin to accept it and agree with it and believe it's the truth. If you begin to give credence to those lies and mentally perceive them as though they are really the truth, those lies will begin to dictate to you and dominate your emotions and your thinking. In the end, your faith in that lie will give power to it and will cause it to become a bona fide truth. reality in your life, and you will become a failure. That is complete deception. For instance, I know from other things, reading after Rick Renner. Rick Renner, how many of you know Rick Renner has a brilliant mind? Yeah. Rick Renner has, I don't know how many books he's written, and I don't know what he's, you know, I dare, most people, he's usually the smartest guy in the room, as we say. When Rick Renner was in this, I forget now, the 7th or 8th grade, his teacher was calling the roll and actually got to his name and said, "Renner, are you so-and-so's boy?" And she had his father. She didn't like him. She said, "I bet you're as stupid as your father." And she said, "From now on, you'll not be known as Rick Renner in my classroom. You'll be known as Stupid Renner. Stupid Renner." And she said, every time she called the roll, she called him Stupid Renner. If he raised his hand, she called him Stupid Renner. If she called on him, she called him Stupid Renner. Now, I know that's horrible. But as time went on, you know, there were other things that began to back that up. The devil's very clever. You know, it's a long story. It takes 30 minutes to tell. But other things begin to happen that begin to confirm and make it sound cogent and reasonable and believable and persuasive that you are stupid. But nothing could be further from the truth. But as long as he believed that lie, then he would be stupid and act stupid. Thank God he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and overcame that. And like I said, has a very brilliant mind. And you're in if you believe that lie. Glory to God. Your faith in that lie will give it power over you. It will cause it to become a bona fide reality in your life, and you will become a failure. That is completed deception. Perhaps the enemy constantly bombarded your mind about sickness. Perhaps his lying allegations have repeatedly told you that you are going to contract a terrible disease and die on an untimely death. When these lies first assaulted your mind, you resisted them and refused to believe what you were hearing. But now you have begun to wonder if these lies might have some validity. In the process, if not stopped, it will become only a matter of time until you truly begin to feel physically sick in your body. Do not give credence to those lying insinuations. When you embrace those mind games and perceive them as truth, you give power to them. I guarantee you that when people begin to believe a lie, of course they begin to feel like it's true. They even have emotions to say it's true. They even have feelings to say it's true. But it all goes back to, instead of standing against and opposing that lie of the devil, they begin to agree with it and accept it and to believe it. Are you listening to me? Deception occurs when you embrace a lie, or the lie the devil is telling you. This lie, this false perception which you have embraced, will empower that lie to become a bona fide reality in your life. Wow. I said, wow. Are you listening to me? So the devil's M.O. is to bombard our minds. You know that devil is not his name. Devil describes really is more of a job description. Diablos means, comes from two Greek words, and it means to like take a hammer and strike over and over. Why are you striking something over and over again? Because you're trying to break it. You're trying to have an open door. That's what devil means. To strike over and over and to with the intention of breaking through. So he bombards our minds with cleverly disguised information and suggestions and reasonings and arguments that seem so true and so real in order to deceive us and to get us to believe a lie. So one way, not the only way, but one way the devil has access into our lives, amen, is when we accept a lie as the truth because we didn't resist them and oppose them and stand against them. Are you listening to me? Amen. So we'll close this morning by mentioning two keys that will prevent you, from being deceived. Two safeguards against being deceived. How are you not going to be deceived? Well, number one, you're going to know and become established in the truth of God's Word. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's Word is the truth. When you're established in the truth, I mean, people don't even can't even find the book of James, much less being, you know, you got to be kidding me. You have to know what the Word of God says before you can be established in it, before you can believe it. Amen. I mean, if you know what the Word of God says, it's not so easy to deceive you. People say things all the time because you see, when it comes to the Word of God, you absolutely, without question, whether you fully understand it or not, you just automatically say, I believe that. I trust that. I accept that as the truth. When it comes to anything and everybody else, you ought to question everything, examine everything, test everything. It's incredible to me how gullible human beings are. Even on some of the political, social stuff, you know, I some of this stuff I try. You know, well, they said, well, who's they? Well, I don't know. You don't even know who they are and you believe it? Well, I found out who they are. Well, what makes them an authority? Well, I don't know. Yet you believe what they say like it's gospel. Yeah. Well, they got it from somebody else. Well, who are they that they got it from? I don't know. Well, you're spouting this off like it's the absolute truth. You know, even natural ignorance of the truth will bind you. Isn't that right? Amen. I mean, if you pour salt on a wound believing that it'll help you, then you're deceived. I guess. I mean, I guess that's the truth. Unless it's the Word of God, question everything. I've traced some of the most popularized present day woke philosophies. I traced one of those down to a professor at a university who made a little speech, and now everybody believes what he said. People don't even know where it came from. That's where it came from. A liberal, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, hates the church, doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't believe in being born again, and yet he espoused this little philosophy that people took and ran with, and now it's just accepted as the truth. But it's a lie. If you believe something that's a lie, then you're deceived. Amen? So how do you safeguard from being deceived? Number one, accept and become established in the truth of God's Word. And number two, anything else or anybody else, carefully examine, test, and verify it. I don't care if it's me. I don't care who it is. When somebody says something to you, don't automatically believe it. You ought to carefully examine it, test it, verify it, make sure it's true. Make sure it's in line with the Word of God. Glory to God. Amen. And then some things aren't in line with the Word of God in that sense, but this thing has 1,000 different legs. Do you know how many people's lives have been destroyed because somebody spread a rumor about them that was not true? Think about that. Amen. I said amen. So how are we going to give him no place? I mean, we see that maybe the number one way that he finds access into people's lives and begins to destroy their lives and hurt their lives and damage their lives is because they believe his lies. Because somebody didn't stand against that lie. They didn't oppose it. Oh, I have a wonderful story. We'll save it for next time. We give him place when we refuse to accept his deceptive lies that come as reasoning and thoughts to our minds. When we refuse to agree with those lies, when we refuse to believe those lies. So one major way to keeping the door shut on the devil is to know and believe and refuse to be moved off the truth of God's Word. So that's why we like the saying, I don't know who it originated with. I think I first heard it from John Osteen, but maybe E.W. Kenyon, I'm not sure, but I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I have what God says I have. And by God, I mean He reveals Himself to us through the Bible. So I am who the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. Present tense, I have it right now. and I can do whatever God's word tells me I can do. Anything else is a lie. And if I believe a lie, then I'll be bound in all those different, you know, what that means. And I'll give that lie power over my life. Hallelujah. But I'm going to operate and walk in the truth. How about you? How about you? I mean, it can be so real and so clever and so plausible and so reasonable and so likely and so probable that you're stupid, that you're not loved, that you're this, that you're that, that you're... But if it's not in line with God's word, it is a lie, and you should violently stand against it and oppose it and resist it every time it shows up. And if you resist it and it comes back 5 minutes later, you should violently oppose it and resist it again. And if it comes back 5 minutes later after that, you should violently resist it and withstand it and not agree with it and not believe it again. And if you do that long enough, then it won't have any power over your lives. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Well, we've got a lot more to say. Got a lot more to say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and praise God. Thank you for the truth. Aren't you glad you have the truth? Aren't you glad you have the pure Word of God, the truth of God's Word? I mean about my marriage, what God's Word says is the truth. You know? Here, keep your eyes closed and just keep... Stay in the presence of God there and worship God. Here's kind of the impression I have. You know, if somebody agrees with the truth, then they're obviously, you know. Sometimes people, I mean, agree with a lie. They just say, no, it's a lie. I don't care what the Bible says. I have an angry disposition. Or they just accept the lie. Agree with means you just think that it's not wrong. Well, that's going to cause you to... That's going to give Satan place in your life. Sometimes people don't accept it as the truth, but they don't agree with it. But they just say, well, you know, I just can't. I'm just going to go out because I can't overcome. That's a lie. That's a lie. But I really feel for people that they know it's not the truth. They don't agree with the devil. They don't believe the lie that's spoken over them as the truth. They don't accept it in any way whatsoever. But they've fallen over and over and over and over again. And then the devil begins to tell them, because you've fallen so many times, you can't be forgiven anymore. You know, if you were really repentant, you wouldn't fall. But listen, listen, listen. Don't accept that lie. The truth is, God loves you. He's already paid the price so that you could be forgiven. And you, when you repent and turn back to Him, instantly He forgives you and cleanses you, and you're made right. You know, your fellowship, rather, more accurately, is restored, and you're back walking in the light with Him. Don't stay in darkness. Don't stay down because you've made a mistake. I don't care how many times you've made it. God is a loving Heavenly Father. Jesus paid for your sin, and you can be restored back into proper fellowship with God simply by turning to God and saying, God, forgive me. I messed up. I ask You to forgive me in Jesus' name. So right now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you need to ask God to forgive you of something, or if you say, well, I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. I've never been saved. The devil's even kind of tells some people that they don't need to be saved. The first truth that you have to realize is every person apart from Jesus is a horribly wicked sinner that desperately needs to be saved, that desperately needs a Savior. So if you're online or if you're here and you're not saved and you want to get saved this morning by admitting that you're a sinner and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and inviting Him into your life and accepting Him as your Redeemer, as the one who forgives you and restores you, or if you say, I'm a Christian and I backslid and I've just kind of just felt like I could never get back right with God, and I realize that's a lie of the devil, and I want to ask God to forgive me if we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if that's you on either account, every eye is bowed, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If that's you and you want me to pray for you, that's what I'm going to do, pray for you. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. If that's you, lift your hand for me, please, real quick right now. I see it. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. I see it. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, everybody look at me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray the way the Spirit of God leads me to pray. Glory to God. And you say it out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears and you agree with it. And God, I'm going to lead you to the throne of His mercy and grace. And God is going to restore your broken fellowship with Him. And you're going to leave this place walking in the light, knowing that there is nothing in between you and God. So say this. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He died on the cross for me. He was raised from the dead to justify me from my sins. I accept His forgiveness. I make Him the Lord of my life. I believe that He is my Lord and Savior. And I accept that. And in the name of Jesus, as a Christian father, I haven't lived for you as I should. I've stumbled. I've made a mistake. I've made several mistakes. But I will not wallow in the mud. I will not listen to the lie of the devil that tells me to stay down, that God doesn't want anything to do with me. But I turn to you and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. And I believe that you do. So I lift my hands and I just thank you that you do. I'm saved. My fellowship is restored. And I'm walking in the light. Now help me to be strong in the power of your might and to live daily for you in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Now praise Him about that. Thank Him for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I hear the Spirit of God say, examine yourself. Not the other fellow, but examine yourself. Examine to make sure you have not listened to the lies of the devil. Make sure that you have not accepted a lie of the devil or agreed with the lie of the devil or yielded to the lie of the devil and become totally deceived. I don't care how real it seems. I promise you, saith the Spirit of grace, that if it contradicts my word, it is not real. It is not true. What I say to you in my word, what I say about you in my word, that is the truth. And if you'll believe the truth and resist the lie, the truth will become reality to you in everyday life. And you'll be glad and you'll rejoice. But because the devil has established a stronghold in your mind, you'll have to violently oppose that lie. And you'll have to thoroughly cleanse and renew your mind with the truth of my word. But take the time, take the effort, be diligent, walk in the truth, walk in freedom, walk in victory. That's what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Say, thank God for freedom. I am free. I am unhindered in every area in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All hearts and minds clear here. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to somebody and say it like you mean it. But as you're dismissed, I resist the wiles of the devil. and you're dismissed. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God.